Welcome to Light of Christ Church Podcast.
I want to thank God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit for being here today, this morning, at this anointed time. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your grace and mercy on my life, on your people's life, Lord. Everyone that's in this house, Lord, we thank you. We ask for your forgiveness for our shortcomings, Father. We ask that you strengthen us, uplift us where we are weak, Lord. Father God, I thank you for Pastor Tom, Paula, for the Light of Christ Church, for the opportunity to speak to your people. I thank you, Father. I ask that the words that come out of my mouth will touch your people. Words that I have asked you, what did you want me to say to your people? So, Father, I just thank you. I'm so excited this morning that you have chose me out of all people to talk to your people, to give them a word of encouragement. But most importantly, to tell them the truth, to tell them the word of God. So I thank you, Father, in your Son Jesus' name. I thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for being in this house right now. I thank you, Lord. I can feel your spirit here. I can feel it through your people. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Woo! Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Listen, I thank you guys, everybody, for being here. This church, and I didn't know that this church came and volunteered for the Marie Savick Center about a year or so ago. And the lasting impact that they left on me was they prayed for me. And they prayed for me, and it touched me. I got very emotional. Tears came. Man, a real man cries. You guys know that, right? For you young people, real men, we cry. We show our emotions. And I cried. And man, it just cleansed me, man. They prayed for me. I won't forget that. You know, and here God have me come back, have an opportunity to talk to his people and to thank them in person. You know, everyone that came, it meant a lot to me. So I thank y'all. My sons, situation's better. God's fixing it, working on it. You know, I've seen him. My daughter, I think I told you guys some issues that I was going through. My daughter called me yesterday morning after maybe a little over a year or so we hadn't talked. So God is able. My son, I hadn't seen him in 17 years. God hooked us up. We've been together 4 years. So God is able. And he's still working on some stuff. You know, I'm perfect. Ask my wife. No. I'm perfect for her, though. Is he perfect for me? So God's still working on us, shaping and molding us. But, yeah, I just, man, it's such an honor to be here. I want to share some things about my life. I think there's some stuff on the table, a few, a little bit insight about who I was and who I became, who he has helped me become. Man, it's been a great journey. I was an athlete. Some of you, I know you guys are Packer fans. Which is great. I played 1 week for the Packers, believe it or not. I did, way back when. But sports was part of my life, was a big part of my life when I was young. I was raised by a mother, and she had 8 boys. So her job was cut out for her. But she done well, praise God. She done well. She is a believer now. She wasn't then when she was raising us, and, you know, we didn't know the Lord much. I didn't especially. But she did great. And so I'm here today to encourage you. I want to challenge you guys, women, men and women, people of Christ. It's funny how God kind of knows what you want to say or going to say. And I'm going to talk about a little bit about Ephesians chapter 2. And then some of the film and stuff talked about God's people, God's children, the lamb and the lion, you know, His forgiveness. Just some things like that, you know, I'm going to talk about. But I hope and I pray that each and every one of you will hear God's word. The word is so powerful, you guys. And I just want to tell you because it changed my life. It totally changed my life. And it'll change yours. I mean, some of y'all know, I mean, some of you are, you know, believers and study the word, become missionaries and pastors and teachers. And God's got a great plan for everybody in this room. And some of us is on his plan. And some of us, he's still working on us too. Don't get me wrong. But the little ones, man, I envy these guys so much. The little ones and the young people, I mean, you got so much time that God's going to give you guys when you start young to be on his team, to know his word, to preach and teach, to testify, tell people what God has done for you. And I want to say that my testimony is not for me. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. That means that this is not, it's for someone else. Your testimony is not for you. It's for someone else. It's to encourage someone else, to strengthen someone else. But it's a requirement that we tell it. Each and every one of us, we got a story. God has done something for you. He's changed you. He's rearranged you. He's done something in your life. And you got to tell it. Because when we go up there, when we get up there, and we're sitting on the judgment seat, he's not going to say, how many cars you own, how big of a house, how big a salary you made. He's going to ask you, who did you tell about my son? Jesus is going to say, who did you tell about the gospel of Jesus? That's what's important, people, who we tell. And he's given us all the testimony. And I say testimony, we're still, yet he's done things for you in the past. Yet he's doing things for us now. And really tell what he's going to do for you. Speak it out. Make it plain. Tell it. And I think that's part of our testimony continues. It's not just what he did 20 years ago for you, you know, now that you're saved and sanctified and you just sit at, you know, and we go to church every Sunday. That's great and all that, but you got to tell somebody what he's doing, for the trials and tribulation that he's brought you through to strengthen someone else. And it's through your faith in Christ. He wants to know how, well, it's good when everything's going good. It's great to talk to, you know, Christians and other brothers, believers and sisters. It's easy to talk to them. But what about the guy with his pants down? What about the lady with the tattoos or the, you know, the people who are unbelievers, when your heart start bubbling up and you, man, do I want to talk to that person? Man, that guy looks like he'll kill me. But those are the ones that God wants us, his people, to talk to. We are the light of the world. We are the light of Christ's church, right? You are? Yeah, we are. We're the salt of the earth. Yeah, so if we don't talk to him, who will? Who will? You know, so anyway, so my thing is, man, God transferred me. He brought me from a place, one of the songs, from a mercury mud, stuck in sand, quicksand. I was sinking fast, and he changed my life. And this was after all my, if the world would say, after all my success. You know, I had a little success in high school, college. They say I was a pretty good athlete, but That is no comparison to the little things I do for the kingdom. Man, I'm so proud to be part of God's team, that he chose me. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my testimony, where I was before I met Christ. I'm going to tell you how I met Christ, Jesus. I know him personally. And then I'm going to tell you what he's brought me through after I met him, the journey that I'm on. What I'm doing today, my ministry, me and my wife, where I'm working, and what he's going to do in the future. I have a ministry that God anointed me and appointed me, and it's called We Stand for Christ Ministry. And I have to talk about it in the end. I'll talk about the Marie Savage Center as well, the ministry that I'm part of now. I go to a small church. It's called, me and my wife, it's called Spirit-Led Outreach Ministry. Pastor James Brown, not the singer, but he yells and shouts for the Lord, this James Brown does, and he's a man, we love him. I'm going to get to the good stuff, which is the word of God. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself first. I'm going to talk a little bit about my career, who I was. I came from a small town called Kankakee, Illinois. I'm in good health, I thank God, in spite of all the things I put myself through, drugs, alcohol, all those things, God has blessed me with health today. it's a blessing, you guys. Money can't buy health. You know, all the money you have, things you have, resources, it can't buy your health. You know, I'm on no medicine. I take nothing. And it's got to be God. All the poison I put in my body, me and the pastor was talking. He's had a friend that said, the friend said that, oh, shucks, I must have put $1 million worth of drugs in my body. I said, well, pastor, I probably put 2 or 3, man. But, man, to put that stuff in your body, and God preserves those that he want to use. The only reason I'm standing here today is because God wants to use me, and God wants to use you. Believe it or not, he wants to use you as a vessel. If you're willing, he will. I don't care how old you are, how long you've been going to church, or God will still use you if you want him to, allow him to. So I'm here to kind of be example to tell you guys how he used me. So as an athlete, I played high school. I'm going to start from the beginning. I started playing midget football. I was a little bitty boy in Kankakee, Illinois, Park League, and I played for the Azzarelli Coats, which you guys wouldn't know, but it's a little league on one side of the town called Azzarelli Coats, on the other side of town called the Kankakee Bulldogs. It's kind of like Green Bay in Wisconsin and Minnesota and the Vikings in Minnesota. You know, they're rivals. So anyway, got a chance to play for both of them. Like I have kind of a chance to play for Vikings in the Green Bay. Then I went on to high school. I had a great career, you guys. You know, now I talk about this stuff, but sometimes I go to places and I talk, and really, I don't even get into sports. I get so into the Word, and I don't like talking about myself much, but God has me, this is a platform for me to talk about him. So I'll talk a little bit about me, and we're going to get to the important stuff, which is him in me. So I ran football, played a little football in high school, went on to college, won a couple of state titles. In track, in the state of Illinois, I was a 2-time state champion. I was All-American in football. Had a lot of scholarships. I went on to play college football at Purdue University, Big Ten. First touchdown, I don't know if you guys have some of these. First touchdown was against the University of Wisconsin. And this is a picture. I was a freshman. Well, I mean, you know, they're in the Big Ten. We're still buddies, you know. I mean, they're doing great. But that was my memory of the U. So I went on, got drafted, went to Elon College. Actually, I got drafted. This picture here, I don't know if you guys can see it anyway. Picture of me and Joe Gibbs. You guys may know Joe Gibbs. He's a great coach. He's a Christian, by the way, a believer. He was a believer back then in 1984. And today, I think he still is because I've heard him. That he does NASCAR now sometime. I guess you guys know he's an owner. But he won a couple Super Bowls with the Redskins. But I can remember him because of his Christ-like ways. I didn't know Christ back then myself at all. But I knew it was something about him. He was nice. He was kind. And he would pray before the game and stuff. At practice sometimes, he'd pray. And I was like, oh, shucks, what's that for? Not knowing that that's really what it's all about. So anyway, I went on to play some pro football. Played a year with the Redskins, a year with the Vikings, a year with the Redskins, a year with the Raiders, and a half a season with the Vikings. So I was 24 years old right here. This is my rookie picture. You know, I had some hair and teeth. I was handsome, as my wife would say. She'd say, I'm still handsome. What a great wife. Thank you, Lord. This was one of my first runs, and I was playing against Denver. It happened to be a 39-yard screen play. My first pass that I caught in the NFL, and it was 39 yards. I don't know if you guys, this guy here is number 52. His name's Tom Jackson. He's a commentator on ESPN. Some of you sports fans may know him. I don't know if you guys got cable or watch ESPN. Anyway, he played for Denver. He's a Hall of Fame linebacker. I think he might have won a Super Bowl with Denver. He did, yeah, because he was with Elway then, back in the day. Yeah, so anyway. But anyway, so those, my highlight of my professional career, I ran one touchdown. One touchdown. But it was against the L.A. Raiders, which was the Super Bowl champions at the time. So that was my highlight of my professional career. I went on to play a year with the Raiders, like I said, special teams, this and that. I started one game with the Vikings. So I wasn't a big superstar or nothing. I did get to the league, you know, made a few dollars, but I didn't last. And one reason I didn't last, I think the most important reason I didn't last, was I didn't know the Lord. I had no concept of God. I made about 6 figures for a couple years. And that money went right through my pocket. I end up 2 years or so later, I was homeless. let's see, I played in 85 with the Raiders, 87 here with the Vikings, 89 I was downtown Los Angeles homeless. I remember I didn't want to go home. I didn't know who I was. I just didn't know who I was. 89 I came back here to Minneapolis, Minnesota. My mother kept telling me, come home. And I wouldn't come home because I was such guilt and shame. I messed up my career. I just didn't want nobody. And I figured if I stay in Los Angeles, it's such a big place, nobody would know who I am, you know. So I came back here to Minneapolis, still living a fast life, you know. I had started messing around with drugs back then. And, you know, I thought, oh, you know, I wouldn't get hooked. I wouldn't get hooked. I'd be okay. But true enough, it followed me here to Minneapolis, and I started selling drugs, using drugs. And I got involved in a deal that went wrong, a drug deal that went bad. And this happened on in South Minneapolis in 1990. It was about May 1990. I was 30 years old, and I went to a place to discuss some business, as they would say. And there were some guns pointed at me when I walked in the door. It was about me not wanting to sell for certain people. Oh, but I'm selling for someone else, so, you know, I can't do this. And I don't want to glorify this, but it's part of how God found me, how, what I was going through, what I went through. And it's a place where he found me at that some of you may know and may not know. But this drug deal went bad. And I was at gunpoint. I was beaten, stabbed. I was beaten so severely, I was bleeding inside. They threw me in the basement. They put a bag over my head. They tied me up, tied my feet up, my hands up. And I can remember rolling down the stairs and hitting this concrete. It was a basement. And the next thing I remember, I woke up. And I was in a fetal position. Somehow I was in a fetal position. But like I said, my hands were tied. My feet was tied. And when I woke up, I could feel some plastic or something on my... I couldn't breathe. And my head was tied up in a plastic bag, a dark plastic bag. And it was one of those thick plastic bags. You know, you guys know garbage bags. Some of them are thin. And then there's the thicker ones. This would happen to be a thick one. And I realized if I don't breathe, I'm going to die. And so I scraped my head on a concrete floor. And I have a mark here that reminds me of that incident. And but more than this mark on my head, like I say, I scratched my head so I was able to breathe. So I start sucking up air, laying on the floor, sucking up air. I remember smelling bleach. They poured bleach around me. Bleach absorbs blood. So they meant for me to die, and I was there for 2 days until the Lord sent someone to come rescue me. Jesus Christ came and rescued me, and I'm going to tell you about that. But I remember one of the guys kicking me in with his foot. I remember hearing the guy say, is he dead yet? Is he dead yet? And, you know, I kind of, you know, when you're in a dark place and you got darkness around you and you hear these words, I didn't want to move to let them know that I wasn't dead. And I'm thinking in my mind, the devil telling me, the enemy telling me, they're just going to come and finish the job and just shoot me in the head. You know, I'm just going to be another statistic. Dope deal went bad. It happens every day. We hear about it in the cities, in the country. It happens every day. So as I'm laying there, and I remember the last thing I remember from them was hearing them say, is he dead yet? And one guy kicked me. So I played possum. I stayed, you know, didn't move. I don't know how much time went by, but I know I was in and out of consciousness. You know, I could remember being and trying to hear things. Man, is they coming down the stairs? Is they going to come back and just shoot me? And as I was laying there, I didn't know much of Christ, much of God, didn't know. But I do remember praying for football. Oh, Lord, let me run 5 touchdowns. Let me win the state title. Let me, you know, And he did those things. And I kind of had the idea that, you know, was a God, you know, Jesus was kind of, but God, you know, I do, he let me, you know. But I didn't really know him. I just knew of God, you know. But I could remember saying, Jesus, please don't let me die like this. Please don't let me go out like this. I could remember using those two words. Jesus, please don't let me die like this. Don't let me go out like this. And I remember my life flashed in front of me. Right then, it just, shoo, like a film. And the thing that I remember most on that flash, that film, was my son wouldn't have a father. My son, he was a little boy at the time, and he wouldn't have a father. And I was 30 years old, so I was still in shape, they say. I was kind of, you know, buffed, as they say. Anyway, I closed my eyes to die. I couldn't hold on no longer. It'd been 2 days. I was in and out of consciousness. I'd never given up on anything in life, especially sports or something physical. I'm not finna give up. I'm gonna be the best, the first, you know. So I closed my eyes to die. I could remember that just like yesterday. I closed my eyes to die. I closed my eyes to die. I heard a voice said, Father, spare this one, for we can use him in our kingdom. I'll never forget those words, every one of them. I'll never forget those words. Father, spare this one, for we can use him in our kingdom. Boom, boom, boom! Minneapolis police! Soon, a second after I heard them words, that's what I heard. Boom, boom, boom! Minneapolis police! They had the place under surveillance. I had been there 2 days. I didn't know that. They didn't know that. People I was dealing with, they didn't know that, of course. If they did, they wouldn't have did what they did. They wouldn't have, you know. But God used the Minneapolis police to spare my life. Jesus Christ came and interceded for me. So as I woke up, I remember hearing them. One's in the basement. I remember hearing a couple gunshots. One's in the basement. One's in the basement. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, that's me, that's me, that's me. Not knowing who, you know, I remember hearing, but I'm like I say, I'm confused, messed up. So I remember, I guess it was the police who came, but the next thing I remember was a paramedic putting ice in my mouth. I said, water, water, water. And I can remember they're putting little ice chunks in my mouth. And I remember saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. That's just how I was saying it. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I was so thirsty, and yet I couldn't get, they couldn't put water in me because I was dehydrated. I mean, if you put water in you too fast, I guess it messes up your system. But long story short, I do remember the ice. And I said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And I remember having an out-of-body experience. I floated up in the sky. I seen the propellers, the helicopter. You know, a helicopter. It was a gray helicopter, and it had a white cross underneath it. The funny thing is, I could see the propellers, right? And I'm like, Lord, this must be serious. But I was on a gurney. I was on a gurney, and this gurney, underneath the gurney, it had two white sheets going up to the helicopter. And I'm thinking, and I see this white cross. I said, oh, Lord, this must be serious. But when I started going up, I could see that there was a clear sky. And it had a few clouds. I'll never forget that. It was clear, but there was a few clouds. And I got those chill bumps. You know when you get cold, how the bumps come on you? So I'm knowing for sure, man, this is serious. This is a little cold. And they got me on the outside of this helicopter. I said, Lord, it must be serious. And I can remember in Minneapolis that there is a helicopter landing in St. Paul at one hospital. It's got a white cross on it. Now, how I remember that? As I seen it on the news, somebody was landing, and I said, oh, Lord, this must be real serious to myself, and I'm going up in the air, and I said, man, this must be real serious. They didn't even put me in a helicopter. They just going to take me to the hospital real quick and drop me. I'm thinking, you know, man, it must be serious. They're going to get me there quick. After 3 days, I woke up. And my brother, I was in the hospital. The doctor came in. My mother was there. My brother was there. My brother's a pastor, Pastor Thomas Smith. He's part of Spirit-Led Church. He's always been my spiritual leader. One of And I can remember before this happened, he used to always have this little book. I think I told Pastor and Sister Paul about. He's always yelling at me, I'm like, man, you're going to never be happy till you get into this book. And I always keep a small one. I'll never forget this. It was a black one that he had. He would always, man, Jim, you will never be happy till you get into this book. I'm like, man, I ain't trying to hear that. This book, he was so right. I'm more happier than I've ever been in my life when I got into this book. I'll tell you about that story. But So anyway, he was there. My mother was there. I woke up. My eye was so big. I had been stabbed. I had a colostomy bag. They had beat me so bad. I was bleeding internally. So they had to put a colostomy bag on me. But I asked the first thing I said, I remember the doctor coming in saying, well, you know, only reason he survived because, you know, he was stocky. He was athlete and sort of in his build. And he was in the fetal position. You know, who knows in the fetal position is when you're in the fetal position, you're down, you're like a fetal when you're in your mom's stomach or whatever. So I was in the fetal position. The doctor said it 15 minutes longer, and if I wasn't in the fetal position, I would have bled out. So if I'd have failed, if they would have let me, didn't handcuff or didn't tie me up and everything, I would have felt like this maybe or whatever, I would have bled out, front or back, because I wasn't, the fetal position, I guess, keeps you, your body is at the normal or as slow rate as possible that you can be in. It's like when you get beat up or something, everybody, you know, you get in the fetal position. I guess that's the most safe. I guess we come from our mother's womb. I don't know. But anyway, I thank God that I happened to be in the fetal position and on that side where I could scrape my head. And the doctor said 15 minutes longer, I wouldn't have made it. So Jesus showed up. It was Jesus. I asked my brother, I said, this voice, the first thing I remember saying was, man, I heard this voice. I heard this voice. Whose voice was that? The voice said, Father, spare this one, for we can use him in our kingdom. And I was telling Pastor, and I tell people that this voice, it wasn't an angel. I know it wasn't an angel. I know who it is now. I know it was Christ Jesus interceding for my life, and he does it for all of our lives. We may not know it, you may know it, but he's real. And when I asked my brother, and he told me, and I kept thinking about that through the years, I got my life together a little bit, and I changed, and that voice changed my life. Hearing Christ, I knew he was real for the first time. For the first time, I knew, man, it's a real God. God, man, this man was like, you know, a bullet coming at you, and somebody, and Superman gets in the way. It was Christ Jesus. He's like, hey, you know, you're not, you know, for whatever reason, he spared me. And the way he said it, it was an axing voice. Father, spare this one, for we can use him in our kingdom. But actually, it was authority. He was kind of telling the Father too, but not telling, you know, they're one. You know, we know the Godhead, right? You know, we know, but they're two, three identity different. And I knew it was Jesus because I've heard God too. I'll tell you about that. One time God said, Kankakee! I said, what? Kankakee? Who ain't nobody in here but me? And when I went to this place called Kankakee, it was a place that I never wanted to go back to. That was my hometown. I'd left a hero, and I got into drugs, alcohol, everything. Rumors had spread it. Hey, he's a zero. He's nothing. I didn't want to go to Kankakee. I was like Jonah. I didn't want to go to Nineveh. I didn't want to go anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world but Kankakee. I avoided that place for many, many years. Long story short, like I said, that voice was Christ. And then years later, I heard another voice, Kankakee. That was God. That's where I went and got my healing. That's where I got my deliverance. That's where I got more support than I ever had in my life. That's when I felt that there was no redemption for what I had done in life. There was no forgiveness. I had left my kids. I'd been in a couple of marriages. Drugs was my God. I lived it. That was my job, was to use. And I hurt people, abused people. I mean, it just, I never thought God could use me. As I stand here today in front of you, you know, God, that's why he spared me. And especially for the young people, because God knew that I could say something to them. Maybe football, playing ball and all that may get their attention, but it was God's word and God using me and changing my life. And me glorifying him would be a more great example than anything I could do. And then God, even when me standing here in a collar, ordained, licensed minister, is something I never thought in my wildest dreams God could, not me. I don't want to teach or preach God's word. I just want to tell somebody, well, he did save me. He did spare me. But as time went on, And it's funny how I became a minister, but not what the word tells us. We all to do the work of an evangelist, and you guys know that. We all are too. We all are ministers. Let's just keep it real. The word said we all are ministers, and to do the work of evangelism, that means to go out and tell somebody about Christ Jesus, the gospel of Christ. So it just comes with the territory. If you're a believer, you're a minister. Simple as that. So the way I became it is I was in treatment at a recovery center in Illinois called Lausanne Ministry. And Lausanne stands for Lost Souls Our Mission. And that was me. I was a lost soul, and it was his mission. And that's what he does for all of us. We all were lost at once. Yeah, my testimony is, like I say, it's powerful, and I hope it helps somebody, but I'm still testifying. He's still doing things in my life. You know, it took me a lot of years to get over drugs and alcohol. He's still cleaning me up, you know. He's still washing me. You know, God don't just wash us once. He washes us, the word said. We're clean. He's cleansing us, you know. We're his workmanship. You know, that don't mean he stopped fixing us because we get 70 or 80 or, you know, we become ministers or pastors. Or, you know, he's still molding and shaping us. So I thank God for that. This collar that I wear, I don't wear it often, but I know who I am in Christ today. So I'm going to get to the important stuff. And I want to say this to you guys, you young people, middle age, us older people. That's how he sees us. That's how God sees us through Christ Jesus. He sees us white as snow. Each and every one of us has a collar. We have a collar. You have a collar. You have a collar if you're in Christ Jesus. Because God sees us through Christ. He don't care about the mistakes we made. If you ask him to forgive you, he has done it. We have to forgive ourselves. We have to let stuff go. Stuff in the past, addiction, abuse, whatever it is, pornography, whatever you went through or going through, he'll fix it if you let him. We have to be willing to let him. Say, this is my life today. The song that says, I got the whole world in it. I got the little bitty baby. That's me, man. I'm in his hands today. My life is so great because I'm in his hands. It ain't my hands no more. I don't have to make big decisions. I let him make them for me. I go to him. I just want to say that. Remember who you are in Christ. That God sees you through Christ. My righteousness is nothing. I can't, everybody, hey, James is such a nice guy. And you, James is not a nice guy. James, it's the Christ in James that's nice. It's not me. I can't do it. I know I can't do it. That's why you got to keep cleansing me. You know, the flesh will rear up from time to time. Like, oh, Lord, that's that old guy. I don't like him. Today I woke up at 56 years old. Thank God. I looked in the mirror. I liked it, what I seen. I said, thank you, Jesus. Man, I like me. It's times in my life that I looked in the mirror. I didn't like who I seen. I didn't like that person. I heard so many people that it's terrible when you wake up and you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, you know. But I'm here to tell you that he'll fix it. He'll fix it for you. Even if you don't like what you see, he'll fix it for you if you let him. You know, I have a shirt that is unique. And I'm here preaching, right? And it's the light of Christ, right? And everybody knows what a lighthouse. Yeah, a lighthouse. Ain't that something? I said, man, I'm going to wear my shirt. I'm going to wear my lighthouse shirt. Yeah, so, you know, I got the greatest teammates in the world. Is it this way? This way, Lord, if I'm in there, you hear me? Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Back on the field. So anyway, this also represents to me, it tells me who I am. I'm the light of the world. So we are the light of the world. You are. You are. And it's dark places I've been to prison, you guys. Man, that's a bad place. But I've been there. I've been there. God took me from there to here, you know. He'll take you anywhere. I mean, he'll take you if you let him. If you let him lead and guide you, he'll take you where you need to get to. I didn't know that I would be speaking here today, but he did. He did. You know, God's been great to me in my life. I want to read a few scriptures. I ain't going to keep you long, but this is the most important part of me speaking today, is God's word. And I got about five scriptures that I want to share with you guys. because I can talk a little bit and say some things, elaborate, like I said. But this word here, this is the real deal. This here will cut you one way or the other. It'll keep you. It'll strengthen you. It'll give you power, because you got to have power. You got to have power in this world. And you say, well, what do you mean power? You got to have power. You got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to know the word of God. If you don't have it and use it, God, the enemy will eat you up and spit you out like he did me for many years. And he may take your life. God may allow him. I don't know. I don't know. But God allows the enemy to take us through trials and tribulation. And it's to strengthen our faith in him. So I'm going to start off reading from... this is kind of, you know, I speak at time to time at churches. I've done a few sermons, but I normally speak at colleges or treatment centers, juvenile delinquent places, you know, where the worst people is at. You know, where, you know, we all ain't too bad in here. You know, this so I get kind of special stuff I ain't used to, you know. So y'all, excuse me, forgive me. But now is the most serious, important part of my day. Is to speak God's word to his people. And I am going to start with, so we're going to start with Ephesians. If you would you turn to, if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Ephesians 2. And I'm going to read 1 through 10. And I'm not going to elaborate much on it. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to let the word of God minister to you itself. I don't need to elaborate much on some of the stuff. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, haven't quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And haven't raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. What a great gift. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Not of works, lest any man shall boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God have before ordained that we shall walk in them. Praise God. Now that was the King James Version. Praise God. The Holy Spirit said it. I'm going to just let that one, we'll read that one, just the King James Version. I'm going to go to 1 Timothy 1 and 15. Now Timothy, this is, Paul was writing this, and Paul wrote this about himself. Now, we all know Paul, who studied the Bible a little bit. You know, how he got changed, Damascus Road, you know, the burning bush, how God knocked him down and he woke up. And so, but Paul himself, man, you know, as me and Pastor and the young people were talking this morning about redemption, and for us who really know Paul, you know, Paul would get a decree from the king. Here you go. Here's your papers. Go find some Christian. Come bring them back to me. Put them in prison. Or kill them if you like. But just go find some. And that's what Paul did. He had orders, papers. And believe it or not, God changed him. Changed him, gave him a new heart. Man, if he can change Paul, y'all, he can change us. I don't care what you're going through, what you done, or what you're going to do. He can change you. Now, Paul said this. Paul said this. This is, and this is from King James. I'm going to read both of these. This is from King James. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Remember that part, the chief part. The Amplified Bible says, "The saying is sure and true and worthy of full and universal acceptance that Christ Jesus, the Messiah, came into the world to save sinners like me, on whom I am foremost." Paul said whom he is foremost. That means he's number one. He ahead. He's the best. Foremost. He's in front. And in the King James, he said he's the chief. The chief means, you know, chief and commander. You know how the president is, chief and commander. He's the boss. He said he was the number one sinner, but I took his place. I got Paul beat. I do. I don't know about y'all, but I got him beat. I had him beat until God found me on the basement floor. Until Jesus Christ came and seeded my life. Yet I still make mistakes, don't get me wrong. But I am not the guy I used to be. I'm like Paul. I've been changed. I've been rearranged. God gave me a new heart. He did, man. So, the reason this scripture, this is my theme scripture. The reason I wanted this to be my theme scripture, the Holy Spirit told me, because some of you may have been through some stuff and haven't forgiven yourself. Maybe you haven't asked God to forgive you, and I hope truly do, because if God can forgive you, don't worry about what man think about you or one man. Forgive yourself for whatever you've done or didn't do. God forgave you. Forgive yourself. Let it go. Leave it in the past. We're going to talk about that too. And if you can forgive yourself, then you got healing. Then forgiveness starts. But you got to forgive yourself. So now Paul, of course, he forgave himself. Because look what God done to him, for him. Man, Paul wrote several books, many more books in the New Testament than anyone. Paul, the Christian slayer, the murderer. Yeah, let's just keep it real. He had people murdered. He did. Had them set in prison. You know, so now, God, with all his grace and mercy, now, if he can forgive Paul, and he can forgive me, believe me, he can forgive you. You just got to believe it. You got to know it for sure. And forget what man say, oh, you ain't right yet. You ain't, you know, you still doing this. Well, I'm working on it. God done forgave me. I forgive myself. Now, if you don't forgive me, that's okay. But I ask you to. But if you don't, that's okay. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to forgive you for not forgiving me. See, forgiveness is a key thing. Well, forgiveness is deep. Praise God. I'm just going to share a few other scriptures. We're going to go to Romans 5:8. Talks about Christ died yet while I was still a sinner, man. He did. He did. And that's you know, when I read that, I said, man, all the stuff I've been through. Romans 5:8. King James Version says, "But God cometh his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He died for us, man. Praise God. Why would he die for a guy like me? I just don't know. But now I do. I couldn't understand. Why would he die for a guy like me, man? Wow. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. But God, in the Amplified Bible says, "But God showed and clearly proved his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, died for us." Man, woo! Think of, man, how much he loved us, man. He died. Woo, that's a deep thing. And I'm going to go right on and keep on moving, you guys. We're going to go to Philippians 3:13. And it talks about the power of Christ when you know who you are in Christ. It tells us, and I was just talking about this, you guys. But I'm going to read this from the King James Version. It says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things behind me, forgetting prison, forgetting drugs, forgetting my no good attitude, my behavior, forgetting it. You have to forget it. Forget it. Praise God. Man. So I said, man, you got something for me? For me, ahead of me? You mean, even though all that stuff behind me, you got something better ahead for me? He does, man. It's great. I mean, and it's happening now, and I can't wait to see what he got ahead of me. He still got stuff ahead of us, y'all. You got to believe it and know it. He got things for this church that's ahead of y'all to do for each and every one of us in here. Praise God. And I'm going to go right on to Philippians 4:13, which ain't far away. Now, there you go. Here's the power. Here's the power. I mean, it's a popular scripture, and we all may know it. But he says Philippians 4:13, the Amplified Version says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses, enter strength into me. Infuses. Man, ain't that a big word? I mean, that's deep. Especially in these days, that's like, man, infuse, that's complicated. But even back then, infuses you with strength. I am self-sufficient. Uh-oh, that a word. That's the new word here, self-sufficient. But guess what? Self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency, not mine. I don't want to be self-sufficient. Self-independent, all that. I don't want to be that. I tried that. I messed it all up. See, I want to depend on him. I want to be dependent on him. Yeah, because I'll mess it up. My track record shows that. I've got that part. That's deep. And I got a couple of scriptures. We're going to go to John 15 and 5. I'm going to have somebody from the audience to come help me out this one. One of the young people. We're going to go to John 15 and 5.
I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Praise God. Can you repeat that last part, though?
Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Did we hear that clearly? Praise God. Thank you, my brother. Apart from me, ye can do nothing. Woo, that's deep. And then I'm going to have I'm not even going to read the Amplified because that's powerful enough right there. Will you come up and read? We're going to go to John. We're still in John 15, but now we're going to read John 15, 16, and John 15, 19. And it talks to us to let us know what Christ has done for us and requires for us.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
Praise God.
And 19.
Will you read 19, sister? Yep. Bless you.
If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you.
Praise God. Thank you, my sister. Those are two great examples to let us know that God chooses us. He chose you. He wants us to be his children. He wants us to do the work of his Father. He chose us. Man, when I read that and realized that in my life after I started studying the Word of God, I said, man, actually, God chose me. And he's not talking to me. He's talking to you. This ain't talking just to me. I mean, it's talking to me personally. I hope it's talking to you personally. The Word should talk to you. There's things in the Bible that you'll read, and it's like to jump off the page. Man, that was just for me, not for nobody else, just for me. So I hope, and the reason I emphasize that, because sometimes we think, I'm okay, God. You know, I mean, he just saved me, I'm saved, and, you know, it's okay. But he's chose us to do more. He wants you to, and he lets you know he's chose you. It ain't your doing. You've been chosen by the master. You've been chosen. Man, ain't that a great feeling to know? My messed up self, God chose me. Ain't that something, man? He chose you. Woo, man, that's powerful. Man, praise God. He loved us that much that, man, he had chosen. And bring us out of the world. He said not, chooses, and, you know, he wants us to go and grab somebody and come with us and all that. Come on, y'all, I'm following Christ, follow me. Yeah, yeah, he wants us to, you know, and, man, and there's a scripture that I read from time to time. I talk to myself, you know, greater is he that's in me, that's he that's in the world. Sometime I'm telling you, man, that world will make you think, man, man, there's so much stuff going on. You don't know if you're doing what Christ, then you got to check the book for sure to make sure, man, because so much stuff you start thinking, well, this is right and that's wrong and that's wrong and this right. And there's a confusion. The world, man, the world, the ways that we are doing now, our country, we got to pray for our leaders. We got to pray for our leaders. We got to pray for our people, you know, and because, you know, man, we getting confused. Time, he coming soon. He coming soon. And he coming back for his people. Praise God. James 2, 1 through 4. I'm getting there, y'all. Praise God. Look at God. I've been talking a whole hour. I didn't think I could. Praise God. Y'all forgive me. Y'all forgive me. Bear with me. Bear with me. We're going to go to James. I'm almost finna close, you guys. We're going to go to James. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, that means my sister, my brother, y'all, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect way, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And that what it's saying is, y'all, that trials and tribulation are going to come. Even though we children of God, we believers, there's going to be trials and tribulations. Man, you know, you're going to find out, man, sister got cancer. Man, mama got do chemo. Man, this happened. That happened. Man, I lost my house. Trials, and it's to strengthen your faith. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but he said count it all joy. Because we got a home, y'all, and this is not it. This is not our last place. We must know that there's a mansion. There's some rooms waiting on you. You must know you're going to live in a mansion. He said it. He said he's going to come back. I got a room up there. And it's going to be no more tears, no more pain, no more sickness. Man, they might even have a football game up there going. So I don't know. He might. You know, he's going to have some kind of activity. We're going to be praising the Lord. Maybe he probably won't have no football. But we're going to have a good time up there. I'm telling you. It's going to be great, man. I mean, it's, you know, God, his kingdom down here is going to be good, too. But, man, up there, woo, man. You know, and me and Pastor was talking to Paula when we was coming here about, you know, as we get older, the more we get into Christ, you know, it ain't the thought of going up there ain't so bad because this place ain't so nice down here. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, man, we got something to look forward to. You young people, I know you want to be here a while because he got work for y'all to do. So, yeah, you know, but, man. Woo! So, by closing, I'm going to just say, man, thank you, Lord. I hope that some of the things that I did say, some of the scripture that you guys will take home and study it and, you know, read it for yourself and decipher it. It's just a word in there. It's a word in there for you somewhere. Look in there and grab it and hold on to it and use it. I'm going to tell y'all, you know, I've read the book In and Out, and I still need to read some more. I don't know it all. I don't know it by a long shot. I don't know it all. But the thing is, I'm open, willing to be teachable. And my faith is greater than my understanding of this word. My faith is. And my faith will always be greater than my understanding. It's good to know some stuff, you know, and it's good to get an understanding. Don't get me wrong. But let your faith be greater. Understand stuff that you can't see. We're going to talk about it. I ain't going to even talk about it. But you know, Hebrew 1 talks about, 11 1 talks about faith is the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen. But it don't say faith is. It says now faith. Not yesterday faith. Not faith, now faith. Right now. You got to have faith right now. Now faith. So faith is a powerful word, man. And it's what God, it's impossible to please him. You can have a lot of other stuff. You can speak in tongues. You can, you don't have this and have that. And you can do this and do that. But his word said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. God said, it's impossible to please me. You can have everything, but if you ain't got no faith, it's impossible to please me. So faith is something that he wants us to have. He wants us to believe in something that we can't see. That's deep. But it's real. He real, so believe in him, people. As I close, Man, the word surrender, Pastor, oh, Lord, I forgot. We still got that. Look at God, Christ. Now, that's who Christ is to me. I'm going to tell you guys, and then we're going to close. I did this about a couple months ago. I spoke at a church or a men's meeting, and Christ told me to tell them what Christ is to you. Simple, what Christ is to me. And this is the analogy of Christ. I do need my board, but that's all right. Okay, the sea in Christ, it's running the race with Christ. That's the theme that I talked about, running the race. And you think about this. Who are you running the race? The race of life. You know, it's not sports. Sports is a game. This is not a game. This is, well, you can say the game of life. You know, it's a trying point. It's a practice field, you know, because, you know, if you get it right down here, you go up there and you'll be perfect, you know. And even if you don't get it right, if you have the right heart, the right desire, his grace and mercy is sufficient. He didn't say he wouldn't save you because you messing up, keep messing up. He said, if you believe in me and my son, that he died and rose for you, it ain't what you do. That helps too, though. Don't get me wrong. It's what you believe in that's going to determine where you go. One of the things, I think. But anyway, so Christ is who I cry out to. Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ, Jesus. He the main man. He my hero. He my everything. Look, so Christ is who I cry out to. When I'm going through stuff, and my wife, she'll tell you I go through stuff, I cry out to Christ. He'll help me. Nobody, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's pastor, there's my wife, there's my brother, there's people, there's man, you know, we could, you know, but when you know the master, he says we don't have to go to the pastor, go to the priest, go to the Saint Paul and John and Mary. I mean, it's cool, don't get me wrong, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ, but he said I can come straight to him. I don't need to say, hey, honey, will you pray for me? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with my wife praying for me. Nothing wrong with pastor praying for me. Nothing wrong with y'all praying for me. Because prayer is powerful. And we need prayer. See, because if I say, hey, I'm going, will you pray for me, Brother John? Brother John said, yeah, I'll pray for you, Jane. And Brother John might tell Brother Joe, hey, Joe, let's pray for Brother Jane. Now we got two or three praying for, four or five praying. The devil don't like that. Oh, Lord, here they praying for Joe, praying for John, praying for James. Now they got 10 people. Now, prayer is powerful. You know, the word said one prayer can change what? 10,000, 10 can change, 1,000, 1 can change 1,000, 10 can change 10,000, something to that. It's a mark that prayer is powerful, man. And I know it personally, but prayer is powerful, so pray. So this is who I cry out to, is Christ, and the H stands for help. He's my help, helper. Christ is my help and my helper, my healer, excuse me. Yeah, he my healer, my helper, he everything. You know, my health is good. Thank God it ain't me. I don't know why it got me walking around here 56 and I'm kind of healthy. Praise God. Because some of us know, hey, man, health is important, man. We got issues. You know, health can, you know, and for whatever reason, I just think because, man, this is something that, like I said, money can't buy. You can't get. You can't, you know. And woo! He my healer. He my redeemer. Christ is my redeemer. You know, all the stuff I did in life and messed up, man. And I make a mistake every now and then, right, honey? He still will take me back. He still got his arms open for me. And he got his arms open for you too, man. You got to know who you are in Christ. And I say redeemer, yeah. That means there ain't nothing I can do. Nothing I can do that he won't take me back. He won't love me. He'll chastise me because he loves me. But he'll always take me back. He always take me back. And now he my rescuer. Rescuer and a redeemer, somewhat the same, but rescuer a little different. I mean, he has rescued me so many times, y'all. I mean, I'm going to say maybe 1,000, maybe 2,000. I don't know. But so many times that I have no doubt that anything I go through, he'll fix if I ask him. Nothing in my life that can happen that if I go to Christ, he's going to fix it. All I got to do is get out the way and let him. Sometimes we don't want to wait. We want to help him. Oh, Lord, I'll help you out. If I could help myself, I would have done that years ago. I'd have never got hooked on drugs. I'd never been a no good dad. I'd have never did that. You know what I'm saying? I need him. And one of my sisters, I think my sister Red or my brother Red, we can't do nothing without him. See, don't take it lightly, man. The word said we can do nothing. Don't mean some things. It said we can do nothing without him. When I found that out, I said, well, okay, Lord. I thought I could handle the little things, right? I said, I'm going to give you everything. See? So, yeah, he my rescue. And then, here we go, identity. I stands for identity. Man, listen, that's a big one. Because for many years, I didn't know who I was. It actually took me till I was about 40-something years old till I went to the recovery ministry in Illinois, LaSalle Ministry, till I found out who I was when I went to Kankakee, who I was in Christ. Now I'm not ashamed. I'm not proud of my past, but I'm not ashamed of it. God took all that to make me who I am today. I had to go through that to make me who I am today. So I know who I am in Christ. I'm not that guy. I'm not that ex this. You can say it, your title, put a title, claim it, but I ain't. That's just part of who I was. Yeah, I was an ex-con. I've got 3 felonies. Yeah, I'm this. Yeah, but that's what God does. He takes messed up people like us and turns us into his glory, washes us up, cleans us off, shines us up, and shows us off for his glory. That's what he do. That's what he did back then. He's still doing it today, y'all. And he's doing it with us. He's doing it with us. So, yeah, I know who I am today. And I ain't confident. I ain't cocky. I'm bold because I'm in Christ. That's who I am. I'm with. And I'll tell anybody. Yep, I've been in prison. Yep, I messed up. Yep, I was on drugs. Yep. But yep, now this is who I am today. I'm with him. I'm on the greatest team of all time. I'm on Christ's team. So, and he is my idol. I was telling Pastor, I met O.J. Simpson. He was a good guy at one time. We got to pray for O.J., don't get me wrong. But I met Gale Sayers, Walter Payton. I was a running back, you guys, so he, my young man, know. I was a running back, kickoff returner. But I met some of my idols. Back then, they were my idols. Today, this is the only idol I have, Jesus Christ. I love my pastor. I got some mentors. I got about 4 or 5 mentors. They pastors and things, and I love them. They've taught me, they helped me, they teach me. But I only idolize one person, and he's not on this earth, and it's Christ Jesus. Man, I'm glad I know who my idol is. And if I could be like him, woo! But I'm working on it. He's working on me. And this S in Christ, to me, is a key, because us men, especially us men, we don't want to do that part. We don't want to surrender. That's a sign of weakness. You gave up, you gave in, you surrendered. You know what I'm saying? Man, try it, man. When you do it, man, why that peace come to you? Man, I can't fix it. I tried for so many years. I said, Lord, I can't beat this thing. I got to throw the towel in. You know, the white towel that you surrender stuff. We don't want to do that. Now some of us ladies, my sisters, y'all want to fix us. Y'all want to, you know, I'm going to fix him up, Lord. I'll make him right. He'll do it. You know, I'm going to hang with it, which is good to hang with your husband, you know, and pray. But God will fix him up. You just surrender him to God. Give him to God. Give him to the Lord. Your kids, give them to God. God, you take them. I love them. I've raised them. I've done the best I can. I've showed them the way. I've gave them the book. Same book. I got the same book. We all got the same book. Here's your instruction, son. Here's your instruction, daughter. Now, I'm going to be an example and walk that way, too. But that surrender part, whoo, man, when you do it, it just takes so much off you. It just, and us, man, I'm telling you, man, try it, man, try it. You know, and you have to surrender hourly, minutely, daily, monthly, you know, something until you get to where you know you're under his submission, that you know, and it's going to take time, but, you know, if you have the desire in you, his timing, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but it'll work out. So we're going to talk about the S also, surrender. S means to me strength. I can admit that I am weak, that I was weak. Some of us men, we don't want to, we ain't weak, we strong. Don't cry, all that stuff, man. Don't believe that, young people. Cry. Show emotion. You're hurting, you're feeling. Don't hold that stuff in like I did for so many years. And I'd go medicate and I'd do other things because I wouldn't show my emotions. But he's giving me strength through him, man. I don't mind crying. I'll tell somebody. Me and a man, we can talk about sensitive things, compassion things. We can talk. You know, I'll get emotional. People pray for me. This morning I got emotional. Something that he said that touched me, you know. And it was the Spirit of God in him and what he said and through the word. You know, it's nothing wrong. You know, God, man, he wants us to cry out to him. Tears, and I mean physically and emotionally, man, it's a beautiful thing. It cleanses you. You know, you find a lot of ladies, they cry all the time. That's good, ladies. Keep crying. Let them tears out. Help us, tell us men, man, you better cry too. You want to get fixed? That way you won't go do nothing crazy, stupid, jump off a building. Cry. Get it out, man. I'm telling you. Feel good. Man, I had some tears. I'm telling you. When I first got surrendered, I went to this church. I'd never been to this church before, and I'll never forget it. To the day I die, I'll never forget this towel right here, this blue one. I've had it for about 8 years now. A lady called me in the back. Hey, you, come here. Excuse me. Come here. I said, who? Me? She said, yeah, you. Come here. So I walked up front, and she said, "What's taking you so long?" And I wanted to say something else, and the Holy Spirit said, I wanted to say, I don't know. That's what I wanted to say. I can remember it clear. I wanted to say, I don't know. The Holy Spirit told me to say, I'm fin to. And the lady, I said, I'm fin to. And she touched me. Man, doesn't it look like the whole heaven started hearing bells and things, and I got to crying, and it was the sweetest tears that I had ever tasted. You know, tears kind of taste like salt a little bit. I'll never forget it. And as I was crying and starting to cleanse me, God started to cleanse me right then, and I was in Kankakee, Illinois. I mean, I never forget it. Somebody gave me this blue hanky, and I took it. I didn't see who it was, but I took this blue hanky, I keep it in my Bible, this blue hanky, and I wipe my tears, and I mean, they were so sweet, and I think them sweet tears still on this hanky. I've had it for about 7 years, y'all, and he give me strength. And last but not least, that T in Christ, it stands for truth, and truth is important, because you got to serve him, and you got to worship God in spirit and truth. You know, sooner or later, you got to get to yourself and say, "Hey, man, I'm messed up. Lord, I need a Savior. Okay, what I got, what I done, I need help. Keep saving me, Lord. Keep cleansing me. I don't care how far I've come. Yeah, stuff is behind me, but I'm still going forward. I'm still marching on, as my sister was saying. We got precepts and precepts. He wants us to go higher and higher. Yeah, we saved. Yeah, we got some, you know, we're going to see the King, but he wants us to do some work here, too. He wants us to catch somebody on the way. Come on with me. Help change somebody. Be example. So his timing, his truth. When you get true with yourself, this word will make you become true. You'll start saying, "Man, I can't keep doing it. Lord, help me be honest. I'm going to stop telling so many lies." Even a little. Lord, I used to think, well, I did say I'd be there on time. I'd be there. Man, did I lie? I didn't intend to. My intention was to be there at 9. Man, I didn't get there at 10 o'clock. And then I didn't call neither. I just kind of lied, a little lie, but I did. I should have called and said, "Well, I'm going to be late. My intention was to be there at 10. I'm going to be late." Okay, well, I kind of fixed it. But if I know, I'll be there at 9, knowing I ain't coming, man. I just lied. I knew I wasn't coming at 9. Why I tell that guy that? I should have just said, "Man, I ain't going to make it." You know? So little stuff, you guys, I work on myself. I read self-help books, but they're spiritual books. You know, I go to the scripture. So his timing, his truth is great, and timing. Timing is the key to trusting in God. Not my time. I wanted to get clean years ago, but he wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I had the desire, but I didn't know how. I didn't have the ammunition. And I found out, man, I couldn't beat that thing. One, I couldn't stop this. I couldn't stop that. I didn't have the right. This is the word of God, is the ammunition that the enemy will bag up. He'll bag up off of you. The Bible says, if you deny yourself, he'll flee. So believe me, he will. So in closing, I just want to thank you guys. Man, God is so good. Christ is so good. I work for a place called Maurice Abison. I think I've told everybody, listen, it's the greatest job. Thank you for you. I thank you guys for being here, taking time, and listening to me a little longer than I thought. I just want to close with my favorite prayer, one of my favorite scriptures, and I'm going to close. Honey, will you read that for us? It's Proverbs 3:5-6. That is something that, man, has changed me, has kept me molded. I don't care what I do, where I go, mistakes I make, I'm going to acknowledge him. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to let him lead and guide me. That's key. It's simple sometimes, y'all. Listen, obey, and follow. Simple little thing. Those things, man, key little words. Listen, obey, and follow. You get those right, man, you can. This book, man, that's the basic of it. Praise God. You got it, honey? Praise God.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths.
Praise God. Amen. May God be with you, in you. Amen. Pastor? Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 Amen, Lord. Thank you.